scripture that many of you probably have studied and learned about over the years. It's the story of four ordinary people picking up a man that needed Jesus, and they took that man to Jesus, and they overcame some great obstacles, and they brought that man to Jesus, and Jesus did a great work in his life. Isn't it a blessing in 2014 to continue to see Jesus do a great work in people's lives? Just watching the baptistry week after week is testimony enough that the Lord is still saving people. And that's good news. We sang that song, I Surrender All to You. I began this morning with a question to you. Have you surrendered all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? We're going to be studying a passage of Scripture this morning. And you may say, I've studied this 100 times. Yeah, but not like this. You have a treat this morning. You're wondering, why is this young man standing next to the man who's preaching this morning? Well, he is from the children's ministry. This is Corbin Parker. If you were here last Sunday night at the baptism at the cross, then you may recognize his face. He was one of the ones who was baptized last Sunday and already serving the Lord. And so he's come to take the scripture. If I could figure out how to turn this thing on, Corbin, for you. I think I got it. He's going to read the scripture this morning. And I encourage you to listen to the word of God with a prayerful heart. And so I invite you just to bow, if you would, as Corbin reads the scripture. And as Brother Bill shared with us, oftentimes we face difficult times in life. And because of that, sometimes we protect our heart. Can I just say to you that Corbin is just going to read the word of God. Would you just let all of the barriers to your heart down this morning as Corbin reads the word of God. And then we will continue. Corbin, if you would, please read the scripture for this morning.
When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he arose, immediately picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Amen. Amen. Didn't Corbin do a great job? Thank you, Corbin. You know, a story from the Word of God, it just never gets old. The more and more we read it, and as many times as we read it, it never gets old to read about people with a passion for other people, to want to bring people to Jesus. And so let's take a second and let's just ask the Lord to bless the time where we study His Word. And let's take a second and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of our pastor who has gone this Sunday to preach at a revival. So let's just take a moment and just go before the Lord and just open our hearts again to the Lord. Father in heaven, we take a moment and we confess that that is the Word of God. It is accurate. It is trustworthy. It is true. We open ourselves to it this morning. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. Father, we pray this morning for those people in this worship center that have never been at the feet of Jesus. We pray that that would be a reality, and we pray that that would be an experience that they would know this morning, and that you would allow one of us to have the privilege of bringing somebody to Jesus this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we pray for our pastor as he prepares to preach in a revival, and we pray that you use him in a mighty way. We pray that you would use him this morning to bring people to Jesus, and we pray for churches throughout our country, Bible-believing churches, evangelical churches, Father, as the pastors stand to preach the word of God, that you would do a great work and that you would shake the heavens and the earth, and that you would move mightily in your spirit, and that evangelical churches would experience revival because people began to bring people to Jesus. And we pray that it would start with us. And we pray that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As Corbin read, I don't know if you picked up on this, but there are four, to me, incredibly important words that I want to point out to you this morning. And I want to point them out to you because I want you to know that these are things that God does through people, but ordinary people. These are eternal things that God uses ordinary people like yourself, like myself, like these men. And when I say ordinary, I mean ordinary. These men, to my knowledge, had no theological degrees. They had no undergraduate degree in theology. They had no master's degree in theology. They had no doctorate of ministry. They were ordinary people doing extraordinary things through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were so ordinary that their names are not even listed in the Bible. Did you notice when young Corbin read the scripture that it just says four men? And when it referred to them, it used the word, they never gave their name. Never in the scripture does it say, these were the names of the four who brought this man to Jesus. These were ordinary people. And I want you to know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is still in the business of taking ordinary people and doing eternal, extraordinary things through them. Did you see the word salvation? I want you to know this morning that the Lord used ordinary people in the process of salvation. I'm not saying that these four men are the ones who saved the one on the mat at all. I'm not saying that. But I want you to know, and I want you to notice in the scripture, that because these people were faithful, the Lord blessed that, and we see salvation occur because of their ministry. Jesus looks at the man on the mat, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Have you ever heard the Lord say that to you? I want to ask you that question this morning because that will be the most important question you will ever face in your life. Young people, more important than what is my career going to be? Young people, more important than who am I going to marry and spend the rest of my life with? My friends, I want you to know that this is a more important question than how much money am I going to retire with? You need to know this morning if Jesus has ever said to you, your sins are forgiven. And the reason that that's important is because his words to you that your sins are forgiven are the only ones that matter. It doesn't matter if your mama said to you, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter to the Lord if the Father says, your sins are forgiven, your Father. What matters is the Father, the Creator. Has the Lord ever said to you, your sins are forgiven? That's important. And we see in the scripture that this man is let down from the roof. And Jesus looks at this man and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. God does an incredible thing. But you see that ordinary people brought him to Jesus. I want that to sink into your heart this morning. Not only is salvation something that occurs through the ministry of ordinary people, but clarification occurs. And Jesus looks and he says, but that so you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. This is an important concept for us to understand because I want you to walk out of the worship center absolutely, thoroughly convinced that your life can be a life that matters in the kingdom of God. And when people look at your life, clarification can occur over who Jesus is. There were a couple of grumblers. You know, every church has some. Did you know that? Not this one, but the other ones. The other ones. And they're grumbling in their heart. Jesus knows what they're thinking. Jesus made those people. He knows what they're thinking. And he sees him grumbling, and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the ministry of ordinary people, and I'm going to use it to clarify who I am so that everybody can understand. Maybe this morning you need some clarification over who Jesus is. Let me baseline it for you. Here's some clarification. Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive your sins. And he says, so that you might know. You see, Jesus wants for us to know who he is. Jesus is not hiding behind some curtain saying, good luck figuring me out. The Lord wants us to know who he is. And so he clarifies it for everybody. He says, so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And we come to that next important word, restoration. He looks at the man sitting right in front of him. Still laying on the mat, still sitting on the mat. And this guy's probably wondering, what have I gotten myself into? Like, I am the focus of attention now. Restoration occurs. Jesus says, so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. He looks at him and he says, get up, take up your mat or pick up your bed and go home. Can you imagine how tense that moment must have been? Everybody must have been wondering, is he going to do it? Does he have the ability to do it? Can he get up off of this ground after Jesus says, stand up and take your mat? And in a glorious way, he stands up and he picks up his mat and he walks out. My friend, I want you to know, if you consider yourself an ordinary person, God can do extraordinary things through you. Four ordinary guys pick up a man who needs Jesus. They take him to that man. That man gets saved. That man gets restored. And then the last important word that I hope that you picked up on as we read that scripture, as Corbin read the word of God, is glorification. Understand this morning that because of your life, through the faithful ministry and witness of ordinary people, when the power of God breathes into that and does amazing things through our life, glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father occurs. Look with me, if you would, in verse 12. It says, he arose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and they glorified God. How exciting it is for us to think that my life, my little old life, my one go around on this earth, the only chance I get can count for something. And people can look at my life and they can look at what I do with my life and they can see how I live my life and they can see the power of God surging through my life and they can glorify God because of what he has done in my life. That's good news, isn't it? So how do we do this? Because it sounds good. But how do we do it? I got all worked up. How do we do it? What does it take to bring people to Jesus? We just saw people that have come to Jesus. And you might think this morning, yeah, but probably the ministers are the ones who led these people to Christ. I want you to know this morning that there's ordinary people, not professional holy men like those of us who are clergy and on staff at churches. God is moving the nations through people who are not ordained ministers. God is bringing people to salvation and bringing them into the baptistry with people who are not ordained clergy. I want you to know that people like you, people like us, people who have just said yes to Jesus are being moved mightily by the Lord. And how does that work? I want to share that with you this morning. I want you to look in the scripture this morning. I want you to notice with me some very important characteristics that must be present in your life. If you have any hope whatsoever of bringing people to Jesus, and I hope that you do. I hope that you have a passion this morning as I shared those four words with you, salvation and clarification and restoration and glorification. I pray that the Spirit did something great in your heart and you said, oh my goodness, I want to be like that. If that is the case, if you have the want to, if you have the desire, if you have the passion in your heart to bring people to Jesus, I want to share with you how they did it. And it begins with compassion. How did they bring people to Jesus? They brought them to Jesus because they had compassion in their heart for broken people. Now, what is compassion? Compassion is an emotion that drives us to action. I don't want for you to think this morning that compassion is just something that we feel in our heart and we go along with life. No, my friend, if what you're feeling inside of you for the broken world and the lost world doesn't compel you to do something, I don't think that we can call it compassion. We call this compassion because it drove these four ordinary men to do something, namely to pick up his mat and carry this man to Jesus. Compassion is necessary for us to bring people to Jesus. Compassion is always focused on others. I don't think it's God's call on our life to wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, and go stand in front of the mirror and start having compassion on ourselves. I'm not saying that we don't need to take care of ourselves, and I'm not saying that we don't need to be concerned with the things of our own personal lives, but I just believe that the God in heaven designed it so that we would have compassion that's focused on other people. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have compassion for people? When you see broken, bruised, hurt people, does that move you to action? And here's why I ask that, because compassion is the fuel of ministry. If you desire to be one who brings people to Jesus, if you desire to be one who disciples people so that they know how to walk with Jesus, you must have compassion. Let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever had service from somebody that you just became incredibly convinced could care less about you? Students, maybe you've received help. Maybe you've gotten some tutoring from people in your life that you just became convinced they could care less about you. You're putting them out with them helping you. Or maybe as an adult, you've received a service or you've received ministry from somebody who really was not doing it out of compassion. They were doing it out of duty, or they were doing it because they felt guilty. You know how sometimes we serve the Lord because we feel guilty if we don't? And so if you've ever received ministry from somebody who was not doing it out of compassion, but instead doing it because they felt guilty, you remember how that feels? I mean, you should walk away with this bitter taste in your mouth. Compassion, love is the fuel of ministry. And they had that. Not only did they have compassion, but they had conviction. They had absolute conviction in their life. That's something that's essential for us to bring people to Jesus. And namely, two things. They were convinced, one, that this man had a serious problem. And if I've noticed anything in the evangelical world today, one of the things that we have to wage war against is this idea that people who don't know Jesus are okay. They're not. I hate to tell it to you. Actually, I don't hate to tell it to you. It's my joy to tell it to you this morning. People who don't know Jesus are not okay. That may be politically incorrect. That may be from a societal standpoint, something insensitive to say. I don't mean to say it with any hatred in my heart whatsoever. But I'm convinced, like these men were convinced, that people need Jesus. And until you're convinced of that, you'll never bring them to Jesus. Not only were they convinced that this man had a serious problem, they were convinced that Jesus was the answer. Are you convinced this morning that Jesus Christ is the answer? Maybe this morning, this is the first time that that's ever even arrived on your radar. And maybe this morning the Lord is moving in your life and you've never, as we sang, surrendered my life and my all to you. And maybe that's something you're getting ready to do this morning. You need to be convinced that Jesus is the answer. They were convinced of that. They had compassion. They were convinced. And the ministry of bringing this man to Jesus, just one man, was a ministry that they did together. They did in community. Hear me this morning, my friends, when I say to you that we can do more together than we can do by ourselves. That's why the convention is important. The Southern Baptist Convention. That's why association life is important. That's why it's important for our Bible studies to work together. That's why it's important for our ministries to work together, because we can do more in community than we can do by ourselves. Can you imagine the burden if just one man was trying to bring this guy to Jesus on that day when they brought him to Jesus and let him down from the roof? Can you just imagine the scene of one person showing up and saying, I've got compassion on this man. I'm convinced he's got a problem. I'm convinced Jesus is the answer, but nobody's here to help me. So what am I going to do? Well, I'll give it my best shot. And so he picks him up and throws him on his back, and he's lugging along. The scripture doesn't say how far they had to carry him. But listen, I'm just going to tell you, if it's me, and I kind of work out some, if it's me from here to that exit sign, too far by myself. Couldn't do it. So what was the secret? It wasn't some incredible spiritual principle. It was a simple, practical principle. They did it together. And that's important for us, because when we do ministry together, there's built-in encouragement. When you get tired, somebody says, hey, don't give up. When you get frustrated, somebody says, hey, get focused. Let's keep going. Community, that's the way to do ministry. That's how they did ministry. And they brought him to Jesus. The next characteristic, I think, might be one of the most important. You decide. I'm going to give you the list, and you just find out where the Lord is speaking to you in regards to this list of characteristics. Maybe God is encouraging you in one area and chastising you in another, convicting you in one. We're going to pray for everybody at the end of the service that the Lord, that you would respond to the Lord. But this next one, consistency. Think about this. They had to not only pick this man up, but they had to carry him all the way to Jesus. They didn't stop. They didn't give up. Now, they could have stopped, and there would have been a little fruit, but there's a principle about consistency. Consistency maximizes fruit, always. That's a principle that will always be true. Consistency maximizes fruit. Here's what I mean. They could have picked him up and carried him 20 feet and said, you know what? The train stops here because we're a little tired. And we heard that Jesus starts at noon, and it's about noon, and we don't want to be late. And we hear all the good seats are getting taken up. All the front seats are getting taken up. So we need to go. They could have stopped 20 feet. And you know what probably would have happened? That man on that mat probably would have said, you know, nobody's ever done this for me. Thank you so much. I'm just so thankful that you would just give me the time of day, that you would care enough about me just to stop and spend a few minutes with me and carry me a little part of the way. And, you know, just thank you so much. And there would have been some fruit there. There would have been some fruit of gratitude and thankfulness. But remember, consistency maximizes results. They could have taken him to the house and looked around and said, ooh, I think this is as far as we're going this morning. It's pretty packed in here. And he could have dropped this man on the mat right at the edge of the crowd so that he could hear maybe just a little bit. And he could have fed off all of the excitement of hearing Jesus preaching and teaching the word. And he could have listened really close. And he could have got to get in on that excitement of being there when Jesus was teaching. There'd have been some fruit there. But they said, no. We're going to finish what we started. You know, a lot of you are in iConnect classes. And you are engaged right now in what's called the Tell Two Challenge, which is where you're challenged to let the Lord show you two people in your life. Maybe it's family or friends or whoever it may be, and you want to share the gospel with them. And all through the month of September, we've been praying about this and looking for times to share. And maybe you're at this place where you're just a little frustrated. Can I say to you, be consistent? Can I say to you, keep going? You know, it's easy to start a project for the Lord. It's easy to begin. It's easy to start. But what matters is going back to this scripture, when their muscles started getting tired, they kept going. When the fun and the excitement of serving the Lord starts to wear off and it gets hard and it gets burdensome and your heart starts to break and you get tired and you get fatigued, keep going. Because that's when we see results. They were consistent. I encourage you with your Tell Two Challenge, where you're finding two people in your life to share the gospel with. I encourage you this morning, be consistent. I can promise you, the Lord wants you to share the gospel with your friends and family far more than you want to. It is not that the Lord is not going to give you an opportunity. I promise you that every lost person in your life, God will give you an opportunity to share. You say, Zach, how can you be so sure? Because he wants people to know about salvation. That's how I'm sure. Consistency. The last one is creativity. Now, I just want to go on record and say, I'm not saying it's okay to tear holes in our roof. I'm just saying they did it. I'll be brief with this one. I think you can clearly see. I think you can clearly focus in on the creative aspect of bringing people to Jesus. But I just want to make a couple of points and we'll move on. I want you to make a mental note that obstacles did not stop these men from bringing somebody to Jesus. And how often that happens. I'm not going to say ours because I don't want to indict you. I'll just say it for myself. How often I allow small obstacles to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. How often that happens. And sometimes I spiritualize it and I say, well, you know, we're hitting all of these obstacles. It must just be the Lord's will for us to stop. They didn't do that. They didn't say, look at all these people. We can't get through here. We don't want to cut in line. We don't want to offend anybody. You know, we don't want to get where we're not supposed to be. And so they didn't look at that guy and say, you know, we just really believe that it's the Lord's will for you to stop here. No, they said, you know what? We know that we need to bring this man to Jesus. And I don't care if there's obstacles in our way or not. We're going to get creative and we're not going to stop until this man is at the feet of Jesus. It's okay to be creative. It's okay to be creative. Maybe you have a next door neighbor that you want to win to Christ. And you say, well, they're so grumpy and sour all the time. Make them some cookies. You say, well, they're a diabetic. Make them cookies. They love them. It is okay to be creative to bring people to Jesus. God himself is creative. That's why there's 100 shades of green. That's why there's a ton of variety of trees. That's why when you go out and look at the campus of Sagemont, there's all kinds of flowers. God didn't just make one color of green. He didn't just make one tree. He didn't just make one type of flower. God is creative and we're made in his image. So let's take that and use it for the glory of God and the sake of the kingdom. Let's be creative to bring people to Jesus. I want to close this morning by pointing out that there's three types of people in this scripture that Corbin's read for us this morning and that I've been preaching from. I'm going to go real fast through the first kind because I don't want anybody in here to be like that. And they're the watchers. They're that whole group. And, you know, the scripture doesn't say this, so I'm just going to admit to you that I'm reading into the text. But I imagine that a lot of people that were there listening to Jesus teach walked past the paralytic man. They're watchers. They will show up. They'll be a part of the crowd. They get excited. They do all of that. They'll take the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes they're a little fussy and sometimes they complain in their heart and sometimes they complain out loud. But for the most part, if you just leave them alone, they're not going to cause you any problems. And they'll show up. They want to hear Jesus talk and they want to see great things happen. But don't ask them to do anything. They're watchers. I want you to know this morning that if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you didn't get saved to be a watcher. You've been saved to be a fisher. Second type of people in Scripture are those who are bringing people to Jesus. Those who are convinced that that man needed Christ. And they were consistent and creative enough to bring him to Jesus. There's those types of people. They say, well, where's the third one? Here it is. The one who needed Jesus. I was that one time. I was that one that people would walk by and forget about. And I had a family that loved Christ. And I had some people in my life that said, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to take you to Jesus. And if you know Christ this morning, don't ever forget what it felt like to be that one. Don't ever forget. But I want to speak right to the one this morning. And I want you to know that if there's nobody else on this planet that will bring you to Jesus, I will. And I believe that there are people sitting around you this morning that would be happy to be the one to bring you to Jesus. And we're going to have some prayer time right now. And I'm going to give you a chance to respond to the Lord. I'm not asking you to respond to me. I'm not asking you to respond to anyone else but the Lord. Make sure that the way that you respond this morning is the movement of the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you would just bow with me, we're going to have some prayer time. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, my friend, I want you to know that you are standing in the presence of God. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God, but He is a compassionate God, and He loves you. And I want to say again to the ones who need Jesus. There may be one in this auditorium, and there may be 50. I don't know how many there are. But I'm going to invite you this morning to come to Jesus. There's 100 things that would want to stop you this morning from coming to Jesus. And I'm praying for you right now that the Lord would give you a courage in your heart. That the Lord would speak to you very clearly. As we sang that song, "I Surrender My All," maybe you couldn't open your mouth and utter those words because it's not true. But this morning it can be true. This morning you can come to Jesus. You can come to the same Jesus that we just read about in the Word of God. You can have the same experience with that Jesus that they had in the Word of God. You can hear the voice of the Lord speak to you, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." If this morning you would come to this place and you would say, "You know what? I abandon my life to you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I can't make it work. I can't make it right. I can't save myself. I have needs. I have problems. I'm ready to just give you my full life." If that is you, if you are ready to surrender your life to Jesus this morning, with everybody's heads bowed, would you put your hand in the air? Is there anybody here that would just surrender their life to Jesus this morning? Amen. There's people being born again this morning. Amen. Jesus, thank you for speaking to people's hearts. Thank you, Lord. If you raised your hand, there's a place called the Connection Center. They're not going to push you. They're not going to confuse you. They just want to pray with you. They want to help you to make sure that you understand what it means to surrender to Jesus. If you raised your hand, wherever you're sitting, would you just begin to make your way to the doors and go to the Connection Center? You're dismissed. I'm going to speak to those remaining in a moment, but if you would just slip out, if you would just go and go to the Connection Center, just have prayer. And let us rejoice with you what the Lord is doing in your life. If you would do that just right now. As they make their way to the Connection Center, if you're walking that way, if you're looking at me, both of these exits right here will take you right to the Connection Center. Right here. Maybe you're saved and maybe you'd say, "I need to bring more people to Jesus." Amen. That's God's plan for your life. I'm going to close with prayer before we finish this morning. But I want to pray for those that the Lord is saying to you this morning, bring more people to Jesus. If God is tugging at your heart to make a commitment to be more evangelical in your life and to do more with evangelism and to bring people to Christ, I'm not going to ask you to go anywhere. I just want to pray for you. I want to know who I'm praying for this morning. Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Amen. God, do a great work. Thank you, Jesus. Father, as we close, you see these commitments. You see the ones who said, "Yes, Lord, I want to surrender to you." What a great day it has been to be exposed to the power of the Word of God. May we never take that for granted. There is power in the Word, and there is power in the name of Jesus. They have responded to you, Lord. I lift them up to you. I pray consistency in their life. I pray compassion for them. I pray conviction. Whatever it is that they're struggling, Lord, I just pray that you would pour it into their heart and that you would send us from this place on fire to bring people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.